gospel as a mission before. Do pray for us as we help in working with these missionaries. You know, of course, there's just be encouragement to them, and do as a mission, do the work of Barnabas, that to the church there in Colfax, that we start is doing well. We turn it over to a new pastor, and that we preached the 20th anniversary this past year, and then praise the Lord that this church will continue on and doing well. But we want to see others, amen, planted. We want to see others that will continue on in the gospel, because truly the hour is late and he is great. The Lord has called us to do a work for him, this great task of going to all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. The Bible says to teach all nations. How can we do that? How can we be effective in reaching others with the gospel and starting churches? How can we do so? It's all about us working together. God's work requires God's people working together in the work of God. Amen? That it's all about us doing our part in what God has put us in and the work and the task. And so what we want to do this evening is look at just one verse this evening that will be our text in verse number 27 here, Philippians 1, verse number 27. And our title is about striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what we are to do. If you are able to, and willing, let's stand in honor and respect of the word of God. If you're able to do so this evening, we just read one verse, Philippians 1, verse 27. We're praying, and then that we will look at the message this evening. Notice what the Bible says. It says this: only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's pray together this evening. Father, we're just so grateful for this time that we have to come to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We thank you for this pastor. We pray that you just bless this church. Father, I pray that you're using great ways in reaching this community with the gospel. We pray that you just bless us, Father, as Lord, as we go forth and work and help these church players. I pray, Father, that Lord, that each of us, Lord, will be striving together, working together, the Lord, to accomplish the task that you have given to us. As the Bible says, that we're co-laborers together with God. And Lord, I pray that we just labor together in the work of God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice here our text this evening about striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is how we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, Paul, he writes here to the church of Philippi, and he writes really this thank you letter. In fact, I quoted for you what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5. He thanks the church there because they gave to him a monetary gift. And Paul, he said this in chapter 4, not that I desire the gift, but that I want fruit to abound to your account. So that's when a soul is saved on the field, that you have a part in that. That's fruit that abounds to your account. And so again, thank you to the church here. But it's all about striving together for the faith of the gospel, so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. This was Paul's desire. You know, that in verse number 13, about for the furtherance of the gospel, he was put in imprisoned. Yet, even in prison, that he writes here this letter, that he still preached in prison and still witnessing wherever we go, whatever situation that we face ourselves, we are to be a witness for Christ. The Lord Jesus, he gave the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in the book of Acts. In Acts, he says this in Acts 1, verse 8, the last thing Christ said, he said this: but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. You know, this is our task, this is our duty, this is our command, this is our mandate, that we're to go and to be a witness for Christ locally, but also globally. Amen? Because the world needs the gospel. And so that's it. But God uses us. Amen? God could have done it any way he wanted to, yet God chose to use us. Those of us who are born again, God has called us to do a work for him. And we are to be faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that man be found faithful. We're to be faithful stewards in doing the work that God has given to us about striving together. Now, how can we do that? Well, we see four points that I want to point out in our text this evening as we examine this verse. Paul, who writes to these believers, this church of Philippi, this local congregation. So what he says to that local congregation, we can apply to here tonight. For us, notice the first thing where he says in verse 27 again, only. He says only. The first thing that we see that he says only, the word only means to, this is the one essential thing. This is what we need to be focusing on. Why is that? Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Paul, he urged the church that our conversation be as the gospel of Christ. The word there, conversation, now we use that word for our talk, what we say, but it means more than what we say, but also that how we live and what we do. Not just our lips, but our lives, how we live our lives. So in fact, the word there, we get the word politics or political from, that the Church of Philippi, it was a it was located there in Philippi, which was a Roman colony, and so the Romans, they understood that they had to act a certain way, they had to conduct themselves a certain way because of their citizenship. They were Roman citizens. In fact, at the beginning of this church, we read there Acts 16. We won't take time to read there, but Acts 16, we have the founding of the Church of Philippi. Remember that Paul and Silas goes there, and that remember Lydia gets saved, and then this lady that was possessed with a spirit of divination, that she is saved, and that the spirit's cast out, and those magistrates there, that the Jews there, they was upset about this, that they said that or the magistrates there, they bring them, these Jews, to them and say that these Jews do absolutely trouble our city because they're teaching and doing things that are unlawful and that we don't receive nor do because that we're Roman citizens. And so that they are still here, that what Paul is saying, he says, let your conversation, or in other words, we can say our conduct, or as citizens, or how we conduct ourselves as citizens. And remember that we're not only citizens of the United States, but we're citizens of where? Of heaven. In fact, chapter 3, verse number 20, he says, our conversation, same word there, is in heaven. So just like them, that we are to be heavenly minded, and we should conduct ourselves in a heavenly way because our citizenship is in heaven. That we are people of heaven, and so that we should conduct ourselves, he says, be as becometh. The word becometh means a way of worth. So what Paul is doing, he's giving us a word picture here. So our conversation, our conduct, our behavior should weigh as much of what? As the gospel. So one side of the scale is our conduct. Our lifestyle, our behavior should be the same as what? The gospel of Christ. So think about this, that how we live our lives should match what we believe, the word of God, the gospel. Amen? So we should conduct ourselves, should live in accordance to the word of God. Our walk with God should match the word of God. Or in other words, as we say, we are to practice what we preach, amen? And that's how we are to conduct ourselves. In fact, there in Ephesians, he's talking about that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, that we are to live in accordance to the word of God. Chapter number 2, he actually expands upon this subject. And notice what he says in chapter 2, in verse 12, look at verse 12 of chapter 2. He says this, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we understand that we're not saved by works. This is not what Paul is teaching here, that we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. We show our works, or we show our faith by our works. That when we are truly saved, that we will show forth our salvation by the works that we do. We can only work out. Why? Because God does a work in. Look at verse 13. It says this, chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." So we can work out, we can live a righteous life on the outward because God does a work inward. You know, when God saved us, God that justifies us, God that he declares us to be righteous. We are saved from the penalty of sin. Amen. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. That we will receive a glorified body when Christ returns. Amen. But until that day, that God does a work of sanctification. We'd be more sanctified, more like Christ. That God, that working on us to save us from the power of sin in our lives. And so this is what he's talking about here. So the first point is this. If we're going to be effective in reaching people with the gospel, if we are going to fulfill the task that God has given to us, we must be living a sanctified, separated life to him. Amen. In fact, look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. He says this, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom he shines lights in the world." So we're to let our light shine. Amen. That's in verse number 16. He says, "Holding forth the word of life." This world is dead in trespasses and sins, yet we have the word of life, and we're to be that light, to give out that light. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest what? The light of the gospel of God, of Christ, who is his image, God should shine unto them. And so we are to be that light. But we cannot be that light if our lives are dirty. Think about this: these lights, if those light fixtures that are dirty, that light won't be able to get out. Same way in our lives, if our lives are dirty, that light won't be able to get out. And so the first point is this: our sanctification. We are to be sanctified. You know, the progressive sanctification, become more and more like Christ until the day we meet him face to face, and we will receive that glorified body. And so we see that's the first point, is what Paul is getting at. So look at back in chapter 1, verse 27, or text this evening. He says this, "That whether I come or see you or else be absent." Paul, that he was not with them. He was not there because he's in prison. And so he writes this epistle to them to encourage these believers, this church. And he says, "I may hear your affairs, that ye what? That ye stand fast." The first point is concerning our sanctification. The second point is concerning our stand. We're to take a stand. The Bible says that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word here, that to stand fast, that means that we're to stand firm, to take hold of the ground. It's a military term that Paul is using here when he says to stand fast. We're to stand firm in the faith. Why? Because we're called to be soldiers of Christ. Someone said the Christian that life is not a playground, it is a battleground. When you live for Christ, and when you serve him, and when you do the work of God, guess what? You're going to face opposition. It's interesting that we see missionaries go out that and they face opposition. And they're kind of surprised about, man, why is it so hard? It's hard, amen? Because while we are that's going to face opposition, we're going to face that enemy when we do the work of God. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. This is why that the Bible says that we're put on the whole armor of God. That in Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, so many times we try to do it in the power of the flesh and we fail each and every single time. This is why we put on his armor and do it in his power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. And it's interesting that a couple other times he mentions stand in that passage there. And we must take a stand because truly it is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That we will face opposition. In fact, look at verse number 28 of Philippians 1. Philippians 1 verse 28 says this, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. We're going to have adversaries in the work of God, just like Paul. Paul, he faced much opposition in the work of God. In fact, if you was to read there, 2 Corinthians 11, that Paul, he mentioned different things in which he faced for the cause of Christ. You know, the Bible says on 5 occasions that he received stripes from the Jews, 39 stripes. He says 4, he saved 1, 39 stripes he received of the Jews for preaching the word of God. And he says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says this, yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We will face persecution in the work of God. Now think about Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah, that God put in his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he started to do so, but guess what? He faced opposition. Tinbal and Tobiah came against Nehemiah and those that were rebuilding the walls there and tried to hinder and stop the work of God. Yet, Nehemiah, guess what? He took a stand. He persevered and that he was able to complete the walls there 52 days. And this is what we must do in the work of God. What God has called us to do is to take a stand. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face the adversaries. We're going to suffer for his sake. Notice verse number 29. Look at verse 29. He says this, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We're going to suffer for the sake of Christ, but we're to take that stand, amen, that in the work of God. So that we see that our stand, that we're taking stand, our sanctification, our stand, the Bible says stand fast. But notice it goes on and says this, in one spirit. So again, Philippians 2, he says this, in one spirit, look at Philippians 2, verse number 2, he says this, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. So notice that he talked about that with one spirit there, that you concern our spirit. What kind of spirit must we have? We must have that spirit of like-mindedness, that spirit of unity, be of one mind, of one accord. Notice verse number 3. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. He says this, let nothing be done through what? Strife and or vainglory. Strife and vainglory. Now those two things will kill, will destroy unity, harmony in the local church. These two things, he wants us to be unified. The Bible says, brethren, how pleasant, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, we come from different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different opinions about some things. But the thing is this, we are to be unified in the work of God. But these two things that will destroy is what? Is about strife and vain glory. Strife about contention. Contention. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So we have contention amongst people. Well, it's this element of pride mixed in. Then, or vainglory. Vainglory is about empty glory, about glorifying yourselves. You know, that philosophy of Diotrephes, that John, he says that he always loves to have the preeminence. But Christ, he is the one to have the preeminence in the local church. Christ, he is to be first and foremost. The Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. But we are to have that unity, be that one spirit and that one mindedness. And so strife, vainglory will destroy that in the house of God. Then notice this, in chapter 2, in verse number 3, latter part of that verse, he says this, something that will keep harmony, unity, that one mindedness, that one spirit in the church. He says, but, the word of contrast, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so what he says here, we're to put what? Others first. You know, that's the key to joy. Jesus, first and foremost, then others, then who's last? Ourselves. And then he says this in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So many times people get so caught up in their wants, their needs. It's all about them, me, myself, and I. You've been pastor there for 19 years, and that you've been believing in Christ since 1997, and so I have seen people, Christians, that they're all so wrapped in themselves. And the most miserable people on the face of the earth is all them. It's all about them, their problems, their needs. But those people, those believers who are joyful, who are happy, are those that think about others. Amen? And we are to put others first. And guess what? Guess who is the greatest example of this? Jesus. Notice what the Bible says, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The kind of mindset that Christ had when he came to this earth, he had a mind of a servant, of servitude. He said this, that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ came to serve. And the key to harmony is humility. How can we have unity is humility. And we see here the greatest example of humility with Christ. And we won't read it there, but it says this, that who being the form of God, he was God. Yeah, he became a man. And he went to the cross. The greatest example of humility, God became a man. And he went to the cross. Bible says there in verse number 8, he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself, and he went to Calvary to die for the sins of the world. And what the greatest example there of humility. If we're going to have harmony and unity in God's house, we must have humility. We must get rid of the pride. Of the pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Lord, help us to be humble and to serve like our Savior. Amen. As then we see this, those back in our text, what the Bible says, it says this, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and what are we to do? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. First of all, concerning our sanctification, we must be sanctified, set apart. Our conduct should match the gospel that we proclaim. We're to practice what we preach. We're to behave as we say we believe. Secondly, our stand. We're to take a stand. Amen. We are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are to endure hardness. That we are to persevere in the work of God. We won't face affliction, but we're to put on the armor of God so that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. We are to have that one spirit, one mind, that one spirit, that unity of harmony, of like-mindedness. How can we have that? By having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, which is also in Christ Jesus. Then the fourth thing is about our striving together. The words here, striving together, the idea there, that's just like a team works together or strives together in order to win a game. Whether basketball or football or baseball or whatever kind of sports game, that we are to do it in the work of God, in the spiritual realm, to win souls for Christ. We're to be working together, striving together, just like a team works together to win a game. We're to work together in the work of God to win souls for Christ. That it cannot just be just your pastor. It cannot just be that the deacons or the Sunday school teachers. It must be every single one of us. God has a purpose and plan for you. Everyone in the body of Christ, every single one of you here tonight and in this church are valuable and are important in the work of God. You are the body of Christ. Now, the Bible talks about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talk about the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. We have needs of you. In those that seem to me more feeble or necessary is what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12. Each one of you are necessary or important. And what we are to do is to do what God has called you to do. We're to evangelize, that we're to reach out to the community. Also, we're to do God's work here, that you have your pastor, that the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, that those that clean the church, those that mow the yard, that whatever you do, you're to do that work of God, because it takes everything, amen? It doesn't matter how big or how small. Everything in the work of God is important. Doesn't matter that how old or how young or how educated or how uneducated or whatever kind of background you have, you're saved by the grace of God. God has a work for you. You are to do that, be faithful in doing that, because what? It takes us all doing God's work where God has placed us. I read there back in the book of Nehemiah that each one that built the wall that was closest to their house, we're to build the wall. We're to build that where God has placed us to do that work here, that Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but also there. That I have to do the work there in the Northwest USA, and work and help church plants across the Northwest and the other missionaries that your church supports, whether it's in here in the States or in Mexico or is it in South Africa or wherever, that you have a missionary that's there to do the work that God has called them to do there. But we're to be striving together. Paul the Apostle, he was a great man that God used in great ways, yet he was always working together with someone. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas. You read there in Romans 16, he mentions over 30 people by name. Each one that had a part in the work. Paul, he mentions to Luke and Timothy, many others. Now, Paul mentions because he always was working someone, because it takes us all doing our part, working together in the work of God to fulfill this great commission that God has given to us. May we be faithful and do our part where God places us in His work to do it and be faithful and be about striving together for what? The faith of the gospel, about giving out the gospel. That's what it's all about. By giving out the word of God, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That should be the sound that we are to proclaim to the ends of the earth, is that Jesus saves, and we're to do that together. Amen? All right, let's stand and let's pray together. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for this time that we have to come here to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We pray that you just bless, Lord, this church, Father. May them work together here to reach this community with the gospel. And we just thank you for the support for these many years. We pray you bless upon them. And pray that we just strive together, Lord, for the faith of the gospel. And we do pray this in Jesus' and his name. Amen. Amen, Pastor.